I want to continue talking about spending today in the Money and Wealth series and give you some practical exhortation in addition to what I talked about last Sunday. I don't have a lot of scripture today. I do have some that I'm going to give you preliminarily, but in the outline itself, it just so happened that it kind of fell in a place where there's just a bunch of stuff and not a whole bunch of scripture. So I want to talk about vehicles today, and just as a warning, I may offend some of you, I don't know, may step on some toes. I know I've been talking about this for like 12 years, but I don't think I've gotten the point across very well or something, so figured I'd try it again. I'm covering this because, not because I like to be mean or, you know, whack people upside the head or make you feel bad or anything like that. I do it because I care about you and I care about your financial future. And if you don't get the vehicle thing right, it's pretty difficult, if not impossible, to get your financial future right. Because the vehicles are such a huge thing. They're such a huge expense. And if you don't do it right, they'll run you broke. And so that's why I think this is important for me to talk about. It's a very practical thing, obviously. Like I said, I don't have a lot of scripture, but I do have some scripture that I've already talked about. I'm just going to review that and show you that what I'm going to talk about today is basically like a practical exposition of what these verses are teaching. Let's look at Proverbs 21 and verse 20. First of all, I've been over this verse many times already in this series, but it's a go-to one. Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. And if there's one place where foolish Americans spend up their money more than anything else, it is on vehicles, specifically new vehicles financed, or leased is even worse than that. But that's, if you're looking for a place where you're spending up a lot of your money, vehicles, I mean, it's number one. Actually, it would be number two. Your house would be the first thing. But the house is more understandable because they are very expensive and you these days, I mean, you have to spend a lot for a house, period, if you want to live anywhere. And that's unfortunate. I hope that changes. I hope it goes back down. If you're on a 30-year mortgage, I mean, that's definitely your biggest waste of money in your entire life, for sure. That's hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest spent. But the next thing after that is the car. The actual cost of the car and then all the interest paid on the car, on the loan and all that. That's a huge, huge thing. So if you want to get your spending under control, right there is line item number one. If you want to have treasure and oil in your dwelling, what you have parked in your garage is going to determine that, largely. You remember the section on investing, and we looked at like compound interest and how a little bit of money invested over time. If a person that has the average car payment took that payment and put that in, invested it in retirement, he'd be a multimillionaire many times over by the time he was ready to retire. Like I said, this is really important. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. I don't know what the percentage is, but I would guess 90-some percent of people, when they buy a car, they finance it, which is unnecessary. It's foolish. It's unnecessary for anybody. It doesn't matter what your income is. You think, oh, you know, poor people have to finance cars. No. No, they don't. Nobody has to finance a car. You know why? Because if you take out a loan on a car, that means you can make the car payment, right? I mean, I assume. You know, you don't take out a loan if you can't make the payment. If you can make the car payment loan, you can pay that money to yourself in a bank account and pay cash for the car in a few years, right? I mean, that's what I mean. Nobody has any excuse for having a car loan ever. If you're starting out with nothing, just save up whatever that car payment would be, just literally for a few months, and buy yourself an old clunker. Save it up for a few months more. Trade in that old clunker and buy something twice as nice, which is, you know, a half-decent old car. Save up for a few more months or a year, trade that thing in, and buy another one. And before you know it, you're in a decent car. It doesn't take any time. I mean, you know, it takes a few years at most. If you already have one, if you already have a loan, then either if you're underwater or if you owe a ton, just sell it and get rid of it and buy something cheaper, or just pay that thing off. Your car's easily going to last another 5 years. Easily. Make the payment to yourself. I know I've said this like a million times. Make the payment to yourself and pay cash for the next one. Keep making the payment to yourself and you'll pay cash for cars for the rest of your life. There's no reason for anybody to ever have a car payment. Ever. The borrower is servant to the lender. If you have a car payment, you're a slave. If you have any payments, you're a slave. Whatever your payments are, whatever your debt is. But if you have a car payment, you're a slave. You're a slave to whatever the whoever the bank is you borrowed the money off of. And we're not supposed to be servants of men. Philippians 4 and verse 5. This is a matter of moderation. Buying a $50,000 car in credit is not moderate. Or a $70,000 or an $80,000 or whatever. Whatever they cost, or 40 or whatever. That's not moderate. If you're writing out a check for it, that's better, but that might not even be moderate either. If you're spending your entire net worth on a car, that's not moderate either, right? So, it depends on your station in life. Remember Philippians, just doing some review here. Philippians 4. In verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. There's some spending habits where you could keep it on the down low and maybe people would imagine you're moderate. When you're driving around in a fancy new car, everybody knows you're not. Let your moderation be known unto all men. My niece, her husband just bought a new car. Of course, he didn't buy anything, right? When you sign your line on a you sign your name on a piece of paper, you didn't buy anything, right? The bank bought it, you're paying them back. But anyway, her husband just bought her a new car, and she posted on Facebook what a wonderful husband he is. And these are like kids, they're like 20 years old or something like that. And I'm thinking, good job, you just embarked on a life of debt servitude forever and bragged about it on Facebook. Way to go. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I guess, I assume they financed it. It's possible that these kids somehow managed to underconsume and pony up the 30 grand for this day or whatever it was. I'm assuming, so maybe I'm wrong. But anyway. Not that they couldn't. I mean, they could have, if not by age 20. I mean, in a couple of years, they easily could do it if they really wanted to. All they have to do is make that payment to themselves, and they could have bought the dang thing in a few years, right? It easily could be done. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. But you know what they would do if they saved up that 30 grand or whatever? They'd look at that new car and say, heck no, I'm not wasting my you think I'm going to write out a check for 30 grand for that thing? Heck no, I'm going to buy something half that price. It's going to be just as good, and why would I do that? That's the great thing about buying cash. You don't do stupid stuff then. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And that's what this all comes down to. I want, I want, I want. I don't want to wait. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, like your old car, until you save up enough money to buy another one. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He won't leave you or forsake you on the side of the road either if you have an old car. Let me tell you, I've driven old cars my whole life, usually between 10 and 20 years old. I'm not saying anybody else has to do that. And you know how many times I have been left on the side of the road, broke down, driving old cars. Everybody tells you can't buy an old car. If you drive an old car, you're going to be broke down. You're going to be stranded on the side of the road. You know how many times I've been stranded on the side of the road in 27 years, whatever, of driving? You know how many times? One time. Now, I've been blessed, don't get me wrong, but driving old beater cars much of that time, at least older cars. One time I had an alternator blow up and in college, my dad came out, brought me another alternator, put that thing in, and I was on my way. One time I've been stranded on the side of the road in 27 years driving old cars. So don't believe the lies that say, oh, if you have an old car, you're going to be broken down. I live halfway across the country from my family. I have, for the last 12 years, driven halfway across the country, round trip, every year in old beater cars. And it's not because I maintain them well either. I don't do anything to them. You know me. I change the oil once a year. I don't do any, I mean, I embark on a 2,000-mile journey. I don't even look at it. I mean, I look at the tires. Oh, it looks like an air in them, I guess, you know. I probably check the oil before I go on a 2,000-mile trek. That's it. I mean, I, like, literally do nothing driving these old cars. Like I said, I've been blessed. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I know people that drive newer cars that have had way more car trouble and breakdowns than I have in these old cars. So don't believe the lie that, you know, I got to have a newer car, I'm going to break down. Hasn't been my experience anyway. All right, so let's get to it here. One major reason that most Americans are broke and will be for the rest of their lives is vehicles. And if they're not broke, they have very little saved, and they probably will for the rest of their lives. It's because of vehicles. Like I said, I've been harping on this for 12 years. I don't think I've gotten my point across very well yet, so I'm going to do a little more. But I'm not alone here. This is not just the ravings of a crazy preacher. Let me read to you from The Millionaire Next Door, Thomas J. Stanley. I know I'm like one of the rare voices that are crying in the wilderness on this subject. I shouldn't be. I was just born 100 years too late, that's all. If I was born 100 years ago, I would be normal and all the rest of the world would be completely insane. Now I'm the weird one and the rest of the world's normal, supposedly. But 100 years ago, it would not have been so. Thomas J. Stanley, Millionaire Next Door, he said there is an inverse relationship between the time spent purchasing luxury items such as cars and clothes and the time spent planning one's financial future. I think he's probably right. I would say that people that spend a lot of time shopping and looking for nice cars and thinking about the next nice car they're going to buy and going and looking at dealerships and whatever else, they probably spend very little time planning their financial future, managing their 401k, looking at their mutual funds, right? Doing things like that, having a budget, managing their money. Inverse relationship there. And contrarily, people that do spend time budgeting, watching their money, paying attention to their investments, actually, you know, saving money and all that, they probably don't spend very much time walking around car lots looking at brand new cars, seeing which one they can buy next. He says a couple of pages later, certainly the consumption of very expensive automobiles has a dampening effect on the probability that one will ever accumulate significant wealth. Now, I will interpret this PhD speak for you. He's basically saying if you buy expensive vehicles, you're going to be broke. That's what he's saying there. And that's a fact. I'm not against buying expensive vehicles. Don't get me wrong. I'm against buying new expensive vehicles. New vehicles is the dumbest thing you can ever do. But you want to buy a 2 or 3 year old nice expensive vehicle and you can write out a check for it? I've got no problem with that, right? Have at it. Have fun. That's the great thing. Like Ramsey says, live like no other so that later you can live like no other. Go right ahead. That's perfectly fine. I still would say don't buy a new one. That you're going to be burning money, and I will prove it to you here in a minute. Here's one more quote for you. Most vehicle buyers are not wealthy. Thus, one might logically expect them to spend more time and energy shopping for the best deal. Our research shows the opposite. Those who are not wealthy are less likely to shop, haggle, and negotiate than those who are millionaires. Listen to this. This next sentence could sum up this whole study. I thought this was so good. Car buying behavior does indeed help explain why some people are wealthy while most are not and never will be. See, it's not just me. When I'm saying this car thing is so important, car buying behavior, this is somebody who studied thousands of millionaires. Car buying behavior does indeed help explain why some people are wealthy and while most are not and never will be. Many Americans drive new or newer expensive vehicles. And I would guess that many Americans drive the most expensive vehicle that the bank will give them a loan for. That's what most people's budget is. Most people's budget is determined on what the bank will give me. Whatever they'll loan me, that's the vehicle I'm going to buy. That's why most Americans are broke. Just look at the number of people who drive large SUVs and pickup trucks today as daily drivers. They're everywhere. You go to Walmart, it's like you are in a SUV pickup truck dealership. The other day, it was so funny. We pulled into Walmart, and it was just a kind of a coincidence thing. We went down the line, and we parked, and it was literally It was white SUVs. Every single one, I think I counted like 8 of them in a row. White. It literally looked like an SUV dealership sitting there at Walmart. I'm not opposed to SUVs. They're nice. I plan to buy one someday, probably. But I got no problem with it. I got no problem with pickup trucks, if you're actually buying them. If you're financing them at $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, brand new, and burning tens of thousands of dollars the first year, then I get a problem with that personally. I think it's crazy. There's nothing wrong with buying an SUV or pickup truck if you can afford it. And when I say if you can afford it, you know what I mean? If you can write a check for it. If you can't write a check for a vehicle, you can't afford it. That is like by definition. If you can't write a check, you can't afford it. If you have to borrow money from somebody else to buy something, you can't afford it. You do understand that, right? If you have to borrow money, you can't afford it. This is not rocket science, right? Okay, so remember that. Anytime you take out a loan for anything, you can't afford it, period. Or you wouldn't take out a loan for it. Remember that. So I got no problem with people buying this stuff if they can afford it. If you can write out a check for it, go right ahead. And you can. If you can't right now, you can in 5 years from now. You literally can. If you have a car payment right now, as soon as you pay that thing off, in 5 years, you can afford to write out a check for that nice, new, brand new car you just bought 5 years ago. You can. You just pay the money to yourself every month. As a matter of fact, you can do it in less than 5 years because you're going to be making interest on all that money you're paying to yourself instead of spending interest to the bank. So in less than 5 years, you can buy the exact same brand new car. If you want to buy a brand new car, you could do the exact same thing and pay it in cash. Or if you're smart, you'll buy one that's 2 or 3 years old and you'll pay about 2/3 of that cost in cash. So, and you can have one that's just exactly the same. Vehicles are the number one biggest waste of money because, number one, they're very expensive, and number two, they depreciate quickly. And don't buy into the myth that vehicles don't depreciate like they used to. They absolutely do. Vehicles depreciate massively today. I will prove it to you here in just a minute. Don't buy into that myth. If you want to be poor, or at least not wealthy for the rest of your life, then buy new, expensive vehicles. That's the secret sauce. I was gonna lead up to it and I forgot. That's the secret sauce. If you're just dying to know, how is it that I can be broke and poor the rest of my life? I'm longing to find out this very deep philosophical question. If I want to be poor the rest of my life, how can I do it? Buy new expensive vehicles, finance them. That's how you can do it. If you want to be broke, buy new vehicles. If you want to be more broke, buy expensive new vehicles. And if you want to be really broke, finance new expensive vehicles. And then if you just want to top the cake and beat everybody else out there in brokenness, lease vehicles. Then that's the best way to do it if you want to be broke. You think, but leases are cheaper than buying it. You're paying that same thing over and over and over again for the rest of your life. There's a reason why car dealerships love to lease you cars, because they make all kinds of money off them. I love people that lease cars, though. They're great. You know why you can go out there and you can buy 1- and 2-year-old cars? Like, they're everywhere. Like, you get like an infinite selection of them. You know why? It's not because some idiot is buying a brand new car, taking a $20,000 depreciation on it and selling it in a year and buying another brand new car. Nobody's dumb enough to do that. It's because they're leasing it, and then they come off a lease, and here's basically a brand new car that's just a year or two old, and you can let the other moron take the depreciation off of it and get a really good deal. Even less expensive new cars are a huge waste of money because they depreciate astronomically in the first year or two. According to CarEdge, you can check this out, caredge.com/depreciation, new vehicles depreciate around 20 to 35% in the first year and around 44 to 55% in the first 5 years. I'm going to give you 6 examples below to show this. Now, that's a huge amount. In the first year, 20 to 35% gone. Right? Remember, just think about it. You just went to the bank. You took out $10,000, $15,000 in cash. You invited all your friends over. You threw it in a big pile in the yard. Lit it on fire and cooked hot dogs over. That's what you do every time you buy a new car. For the first year, you just burned up that much money. So let's look at some examples. Now, I've picked the following examples completely at random. I just went and I just did a random number generator, and then I just picked out six vehicles just completely randomly. I picked a Chevy Malibu, a Honda Odyssey minivan, a Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup, a Chrysler minivan, a Ford Escape, and a Jeep Wrangler Rubicon at complete random. Of course, I'm joking. I didn't. I picked the cars that we all drive, right? I did that for a reason, a couple of reasons. Number one, nobody can say that, oh, you just picked vehicles with high depreciation rates. If I did, then all of you are really bad vehicle picker-outers because you picked out vehicles with really high depreciation rates. And nobody can say that, well, my vehicle doesn't depreciate like that. Oh, yes, it does, and I'm going to prove it to you. Okay, so let's look at these. Chevy Malibu. I'll start picking on myself first. I didn't buy my Malibu new. I didn't even buy it used. I didn't buy it at all. Somebody gave it to me. Bev, bless her heart. Bev wasn't a very good picker out of cars because these things depreciate like crazy. American cars do in general, based on what I've seen. But yeah, Malibus really depreciate for some reason. So a brand new Malibu 2025 cost $25,800. After 1 year, it's only worth $16,582. For most of the rest of this, I'm just going to give you round numbers, round it up to the nearest 100 or 1,000, just to make it a little easier here. So moral of the story is don't buy a new Malibu. These things depreciate like crazy. That's $9,200 in depreciation in the first year, which is 35.7%. That means that if you buy a brand new Malibu versus a one-year-old Malibu, you have just blown $9,200. You know what you did? You just blew almost $10,000 on perfume. You know why I say that? Why do I say that? If you buy a new Malibu or any new car, you just blew 10 grand or more on perfume. Why do I say that? Because the only thing you got for $10,000 was that new car smell. That is it. You literally got the new car smell and nothing more. Oh yeah, you got 1 year extra warranty. Big whoop-de-doo. It doesn't matter. The warranty extends. You buy a two-year-old car, you get to keep the car's warranty anyway. And my goodness, what kind of a three-year-old car breaks down anyway? If you're buying a new car and you think, well, I got to have that three-year warranty because this thing's probably going to blow an engine and a transmission and a transfer case and whatever else in the next 3 years, you didn't do a very good job of shopping. The three-year, it's a big gimmick, in my opinion anyway. What kind of car breaks down in 3 years? That's crazy. I mean, I've driven 20-year-old cars and they don't break down. I don't know. If I had a three-year-old car and it broke down, I'd be extremely angry, warranty or not. So you got the new car smell. That's it. Because a one-year-old car is identical to a brand new car. Assuming that the person took half-decent care of it. The dealership will detail it. They'll clean it up. It will literally look like a brand new car. It will be indistinguishable from a brand new car. It'll run like a brand new car. It'll drive like a brand new car. It'll be reliable like a brand new car. There is absolutely zero difference except the new car smell. I think a great business opportunity would be to create a perfume line that smells like a new car. I could charge $10,000 for it. Car dealerships could take it and spray it in one-year-old cars and then charge 10 grand more for them. What a deal. What a deal. Now, let's look at it another way. If you bought a brand new Malibu versus a one-year-old Malibu, every day, every Monday morning when you drive to work, just imagine rolling down your window. I'm showing how old I am here. Like, roll down your window, right? Nobody rolls down their window. Roll down your window and throw $177.27 out the window every Monday morning on your way to work for the entire first year. Each of those 52 weeks. That's what it costs you to own a brand new Malibu versus a one-year-old Malibu. That's the depreciation. $177 every single week. Money out the window like that. Now, if you're rolling in the dough and you can afford to throw $177 out the window every Monday morning, go buy new cars. Probably ought to buy a few of them. But if you can't, maybe consider a 2 or 3 year old one. This, of course, doesn't include all the extra money wasted on sales tax. I mean, here in Missouri, that's like 10%, right? So tack on another 10%. That's another $2,500 onto that car. And interest on the car loan. You know, the days of 0% interest rates are gone on cars, right? Now you're paying 6% or something, right? So you're paying a whole lot more for that car. if you have a loan, which just about everybody does. Now, after 5 years, that Malibu is only worth $12,498, so $12,500. It's depreciated $13,000 after 5 years, which is 51.6%. So you wasted $13,000 if you bought the new Malibu versus the five-year-old Malibu. Again, this is not 1972. A five-year-old car is darn near like a brand new car, right? Cars run a long time. You know, they don't really rust out here in Missouri. We don't have much of winters, right? I mean, if you're living way up in the north, they rust out pretty fast. But a five-year-old car, I mean, I think like I'd made it if I had a five-year-old car. I've never driven a five-year-old car in my life. The newest car I ever had was 6 years old, I think, and the rest of them have been a lot older than that. So, but driving a five-year-old car is about like driving a new one, and you can get it for half price. What a deal. And it'll easily run another 5 years without batting an eye, another 10 years, no problem. I mean, but easily another 5 years and then sell it when it's 10 years old and still a half-decent car. Buy another five-year-old one. You get them half price. Even that, you drive buy the five-year-old Malibu versus the brand-new Malibu. Every single Monday morning for 5 years straight, you're throwing $51 out the window. Every day for 5 years, $51 out the window for that newer car. Doesn't include taxes and interest and all that stuff. All right, now I'm going to go more quickly through the rest of these. Honda Odyssey, brand new, $42,000. After 1 year, it's worth $33,000. So you lost $8,300 in depreciation. That's 19.8, basically 20%. Honda maintains its value better. If you look back on that other chart, I mean, the Malibu, it's like a nosedive the first year. You look at that chart. The Odyssey is not as bad. It's sort of more of a steady decline. The Malibu nosedives and then sort of, you know, flat lines out. The Honda just thinks steady decline. Looks like a ski slope or something. But anyway, you lose 20% the first year, $8,300. It'd be like throwing $160 out the window every Monday morning if you bought that brand new Odyssey versus a one-year-old Odyssey. After 5 years, the Odyssey's worth $23,000. You've lost $18,000 in depreciation. It's about 44%. That'd be like throwing $71 out the window for 5 years straight, buying a new one versus a five-year-old one. All right, Chevy Silverado, $1,500. The prices were kind of all over the place. It was hard, but this is basically an average, $50,000 for a half-ton Chevy. Value after 1 year, $35,000. It depreciated $15,000 in 1 year. 1 year. New pickup versus one-year-old pickup. You just blew $15,000 for a new truck smell. You'd be throwing $287 out the window every Monday morning on your way to work for a year straight. $287 out the window just for that nice new car smell, if you even like new car smells. I'm really not big on them myself. After 5 years, the pickup truck's worth $27,000. You've lost $22,800 in depreciation, which is 45.6%. That'd be like throwing $87 out the window every day, every week for 5 years. All right, the Chrysler Pacifica minivan. Again, these American cars, these things are terrible. Depreciation. New, $42,000. So it's about like the Honda, actually. What was the Honda? The Honda was $42,000. Same price. Honda Odyssey, Chrysler, same price, right? Remember the Honda depreciated 20% the first year? Look at the Chrysler. The value after 1 year is $27,500. It depreciated $15,000 in the first year, which is 35%. 35%. That's $287 out the window every week for the first year just for that new car smell. After 5 years, that minivan's only worth $17,500. It's depreciated $25,000, a whopping 58.6%. I don't know what it is about Chryslers, but wow. You can look at that two different ways. You can look at it like, I never want to buy a new Chrysler van because, man, I'm blowing huge amounts of money. Or you could say, I definitely want to buy a Chrysler van because in 5 years, I'm getting that thing like given to me, right? Unless the engine blows up in the transmission and, you know, right? All that kind of stuff, right? Maybe that's why they depreciate. I don't know. So that's, you know, 25 grand wasted in the first 5 years. 95 bucks out the window for the first 5 years. 287 out the window every week if I said that for the first year. And then a Ford Escape. Brand new, you're looking at about $32,740. Value after 1 year, $21,373. So it's depreciated about $11,000 in the first year. That's 35%. Again, huge depreciation. $11,000 first year. A brand new Escape versus a one-year-old Escape is throwing $218 out the window every single Monday morning on your way to work for the first year. That's the difference between buying a brand new one and a one-year-old one. After 5 years, it's worth 15 grand. You've lost almost 18 grand, which is 54.26%. And that's about $68 every single week for 5 years. And then the Wrangler Rubicon. That's about $54,522, brand new. After a year, it's worth $37,000. That's $17,000 of depreciation, 31.5%. And that means for the first year, if you buy the new Rubicon versus the one-year-old Rubicon, every Monday morning for the first year, $330 out the window. Just gone. After 5 years, it's worth $24,600. It's depreciated $30,000, which is 55%. Like I said, you can get these things, smoking deal on them after 5 years. Still got lots of life left in them. That'd be $115 every single week for 5 years straight out the window. George Camel, he's one of the Ramsey personalities. He says, if you live fake rich, you'll become real broke. That's not grammatically correct, but I think you get the point. If you live fake rich, you'll become real broke. Let's do some math now, as if we haven't had enough yet, and determine how much the average person spends on vehicles over 40 years. This one is going to blow you away. Now, maybe not the average person, but a lot of people. You see these big, nice quad cab, three-quarter ton trucks driving around. I mean, around here, every Tom, Dick, and Harry's got one. These things, if you buy them new, are extremely expensive. And there are people that buy them new and trade them in every 5 years. If you did that, if you bought one of these pickup trucks new and traded it in every 5 years, you wouldn't believe the amount of money you're going to spend. Watch this. We're going to look at a 2025 Ford F-250 four-door. It starts at, I mean, brace yourselves for this, $76,975. $77,000 for a pickup truck. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And most of these people are using them as daily drivers. According to the depreciation calculator on Carriage.com, after 5 years, the truck will lose $34,677 in value and only be worth $42,300. That doesn't factor in interest payments, taxes, and fees. If you financed this truck for 5 years at 6% interest, that truck will cost a total of, get this, $100,000. $100,314. That pickup truck cost $100,000 to the sucker that financed it. $100,000. I'm not that old. But I remember not all that long ago when I was like in college, you could buy a pretty decent house for $100,000. Now these morons pay that much for a truck that depreciates massively over the next few years. Unbelievable. That means that after 5 years, the sucker who financed that truck would have lost $58,000. The 100,000 minus the 42,000 that it's left at its value. So by year five, he spent $100,000 on vehicles. Okay. Now, I mean, it's 5 years later And this truck's 5 years old. I couldn't bear to drive a five-year-old truck. I mean, I'd look like some kind of a pauper or something. I got to go trade this thing in and get a new one. I mean, it's just, this truck's knocking on death's door, 5 years old. It's just ready to keel over on the side of the road. So let's go get another one. So now the sucker trades in his truck for $42,300 and he buys, quote unquote, another one for $76,975. It would actually be more than that because inflation and all that, but I'm just going to stick with the current prices, okay? So he trades in his truck and he buys so-called another one. And he takes out a loan for $34,677. That's the difference between his trade-in and what the new truck cost. Okay, so now he's got a loan for $35,000, basically. And if he financed that over 5 years at 6% interest, that truck is going to cost him $46,500. So by year 10, he spent $146,000 on vehicles. Spent $100,000 on the first one. He spent $46,000 on the second one. Now, every 5 years, he's going to trade in that truck for $42,000, and he's going to, quote, buy another one for $77,000. This will cost him a total of $46,000 and $46,500 with interest and taxes and fees every 5 years, not factoring in inflation. So by year 15, he will have spent $193,000. By year 20, he spent $240,000. By year 25, he spent $286,000. By year 30, he spent $332,000. By year 35, he spent $380,000. And by year 40, he's 65 years old, right? He's been doing this since he was an idiot 25-year-old kid. By year 40, he spent $425,000 on trucks. Almost $500,000 on trucks. And actually, he didn't really spend it on trucks. He just spent it on interest and depreciation. He just blew all this money for nothing. He wasted $500,000. Think about that. Is it any wonder that most Americans are broke? How much would he have had in his retirement if he would have put all that money or even half of it into a 401k? Millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, he'd be on the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. They'd be interviewing him, asked, how did you make your first $10 million? I just didn't buy F-250 trucks my whole life. Man. Okay, so maybe you want to be more frugal. You want to buy a new truck and trade it in every 10 years. That's smarter, but it's a lot smarter to buy, one that's a few years old and trade it in every 10 years. Save yourself a bundle. But anyway, so say you buy the new Ford truck every 10 years, right? Well, the first year, the first truck's going to cost you $100,000, same as it did before, right? You get the loan at 6% and all that. So you spend $100,000 on the truck the first 10 years. Then after 10 years, he trades in the truck for $27,000. It's worth less than the other, than it was at 5 years. And now he takes out a loan for $49,000. That's the $77,000 for the new one minus the $27,000 for the trade-in. So he takes out a loan for basically $50,000 at 6% interest. By year 20, he's now spent $165,000 on vehicles. Every 10 years, he's going to trade that thing in for $27,000. He's going to buy the new one for $77,000. This is going to cost him a total of $65,000 every 10 years with all the interest and taxes and all that. By year 30, he will have spent $231,000, and by year 40, he would have spent $296,000, so almost $300,000. This is trading in every 10 years. Is it any wonder that most Americans are broke? $300,000. Now let's look at a new SUV, because that's what everybody drives these days. Trucks and SUVs, right? You see them all over the place. Nothing wrong with that if you can afford it. A 2025 Ford Explorer Platinum SUV starts at $52,000, $52,250. According to Car Edge, it'll depreciate and lose $24,000 in the first 5 years. It'll be worth $28,000. When you factor in the 6% interest on the loan and all that stuff and taxes and whatnot, after 5 years, that SUV is going to have cost you almost $69,000. So after 5 years, the sucker who financed this thing would have lost $40,000. $68,000 minus the $28,000 in depreciation. Or the $28,000 that's left, that it's currently valued at. So by year five, he spent $68,000 on vehicles. Then in 5 years, he trades it in again. And he gets $28,000 for it, and he buys another $52,000 SUV. Be actually more than that because of inflation. And then he takes out another loan for $24,000. Finances that again, of course. And by that point, he's paid $33,000 for that car. By year 10, he spent $101,000 on vehicles. Every 5 years, he's going to do it. It's going to cost him an extra $33,000. Every 5 years is going to cost him an extra $33,000 with the trade-in, the interest, the taxes, all that. At year 15, it's $134,000, and on and on and on. You go down to year 40, $300,000. You buy a new SUV, you trade it in every 5 years, and finance them all, $300,000 in 40 years in a lifetime. Now, is it any wonder? I thought I did. Oh, it's also 10 years. I'm going to skip all the chase, cut to all the chase. If you buy a brand new SUV, that brand new Ford Explorer, and you trade it in every 10 years, you will have spent $209,000 on vehicles. So is it any wonder that most Americans are broke? Of course not. And one thing you want to remember is this is one vehicle. Most families have at least two, right? So Bubba that's buying the new F-250 every 5 years and spending $425,000. Susie the soccer mom that's buying the new Explorer every 5 years and spending $300,000. Between the two of them and their two vehicles, they have spent, what, $725,000? $750,000? Mostly on interest and depreciation, at least half, probably more. No wonder everybody's broke, huh? Like I said, that money invested would end up being multiple millions of dollars. Now, like I said, I'm not telling you not to drive nice cars. Drive nice cars. Pay cash for them. Pay cash for quality, slightly used vehicles that are 3 to 5 years old. Never take out a car loan. Make the payments to yourself. You know, you'll drive nice cars. Reliable cars, cars that look just like brand new, drive like brand new, feel like brand new, only you're going to pay half as much. It's real simple. Real, real simple. Now, the following are Dave Ramsey's thoughts on buying new cars and financing cars with which I wholeheartedly agree. This is, like I said, it's not just me. And I didn't get these ideas from Ramsey. When I read Ramsey, I thought, amen. He was saying what I'm saying. He's been saying it longer than I've been saying it. He's been saying it for 30 years. But I didn't get any of these ideas from Ramsey. I've been harping, preaching from the housetops this stuff for 12 years. And I didn't even read Ramsey's book until 6 months ago. This is from his book, The Total Money Makeover. I believe that was where this one was from. Total Money Makeover. Myth. Car payments are a way of life. You'll always have one. Virtually everybody believes that. Just about everybody. You talk to anybody in this country, they will tell you car payment's a way of life. It's like having a grocery bill every month. You're just going to spend money on groceries every month. You are going to spend money on groceries every month. You do not need to have a car payment ever. Anybody ever for any reason. It is not a way of life. It's a stupid way of life. But it's not a necessity at all. I've never had a car payment ever in my life. I'm 43 years old. I haven't died yet. Haven't been left along the side of the road. Broke down, dead, whatever. Somehow I managed to survive without a car payment ever. And I'm 43. It's not hard. I mean, it requires a little bit of self-discipline and sacrifice, but it's really not hard. Truth. Staying away from car payments by driving reliable, used cars is what the average millionaire does. This is how he or she became a millionaire. Taking on a car payment is one of the dumbest things people do to destroy their chances of building wealth. The car payment is most folks' largest payment except for their home mortgage. So it steals more money from the income than virtually anything else. USA Today notes that the average car payment is $464 over 64 months. This book was written back in like 2007. So I looked it up today. It's $734 over 68 months is the average car payment. $734 a month is the average car payment. That is certifiably insane. I can't imagine. That is like, that's my rent. Almost. My rent's $788. That is my rent. That's what I pay for housing, which is supposed to be, I mean, is your most expensive expense. $734 a month. That just blows me away. I can't even imagine like writing out a check for that much every month for a car. It's crazy. Back then it was only $464. I can't imagine writing that much out every month, but anyway. Most people get a car payment and keep it throughout their lives. As soon as the car is paid off, they get another payment because they, quote, need, unquote, a new car. If you keep a $464 car payment throughout your life, which is, quote, normal, unquote, you miss the opportunity to save that money. If you invested $464 per month at age 25 to 65, a normal working lifetime, in the average mutual fund, averaging 12%, the 70-year stock market average, you would have $5.4 million at age 65. Hope you like the car, he says. Now, of course, there is an error in the logic here because you still have to pay money for your car. I mean, if you're not making the $464 car payment, you're still going to have to lay up money for a car. So it's, you know, there is an error in the logic. But the point is, that's how much that car payment invested would grow to over a lifetime. $5.5 million. Some of you had your nose in the air as intellectual snobs when I illustrated how bad rent to own is because you would never enter such an establishment. And yet you are doing worse on your car deal. If you put $464 per month in a cookie jar for just 10 months, you would have more than $4,000 for a cash car. And all these years later, you can still buy a cash car for $4,000, which is, I mean, it's not a nice car, but you can buy a $4,000 car. It lasts several years easily, even all these years later. So what he's saying is take that car payment for 10 months and you have bought yourself a car. You know, not a great car, but it's an okay car, right? I'm not suggesting you drive I'm not suggesting you drive a $4,000 car your whole life. Don't be like Chad Wagner, in other words. But that is how you start without debt. Then you can save the same amount again and trade up to an $8,000 car 10 months later. $8,000 car, that'd be nice. I never paid that much money for one in my entire life. And up to a $12,000 car 10 months after that. In just 30 months, it's less than 2.5 years. In just 30 months or 2.5 years, you can drive a paid for $12,000 car, which is a really nice car. I mean, especially back then, even today, that's a nice car, $12,000 car. Never having made a payment and never having to make payments again. Taking on car payments because everyone else does it, does not make it smart. As a matter of fact, if you do what everyone else does in pretty much any sphere of life, you're probably not smart. Because the multitudes are always wrong. Will your broke relatives and your friends make fun of your junk car while you do this? Sure they will. But that's a very good sign that you're on the right track. Having been a millionaire and gone broke, I dug my way out by making a decision about looking good versus being good. Looking good is when your broke friends are impressed by what you drive, and being good is having more money than they have. I love that. Looking good is being, you know, having your broke friends be impressed by what you drive. Being good is having more money than they have. I think that's funny. And he writes again, today I am convinced that my wife and I are able to do anything we want financially, partially because of the car sacrifices we made in the early days. I believe with everything within me that we are winning because of the heart change that allowed us to drive old, beat-up cars in order to win. If you insist on driving new cars with payments your whole life, you will literally blow a life's fortune on them. If you are willing to sacrifice for a while, you can have your life's fortune and drive quality cars. I'd opt for the millionaire strategy. That's the thing. If you do it right, especially if you start young, you can have the nice cars and have lots of wealth. If you do it wrong, yeah, you'll have nice cars and you'll die broke. You'll have nothing left, as we've seen. No, you can't afford a new car unless you are a millionaire and can therefore afford to lose thousands of dollars all in the name of the neat new car smell. A good used car that is less than 3 years old is as reliable or more reliable than a new car. I actually believe that. I've seen plenty of people with new cars have problems with them. A new $28,000 car will lose about $17,000 of value in the first 4 years you own it. That is almost $100 per week in lost value. To understand what I'm talking about, open your window on your way to work once a week and throw out a $100 bill. I did get that idea from Ramsey. The average millionaire drives a two-year-old car with no payments. He or she simply bought it. The average millionaire is unwilling to take the loss that a new car dishes out. That is how they became millionaires. They let all the other suckers take the depreciation, and they get the deal. He continues in another quote. The car dealer will tell you that you are, quote, buying someone else's problems. Then why do they sell used cars? Wouldn't that be morally wrong? The truth is that most slightly used cars have gotten all the kinks worked out of them, and were not traded because they were bad cars. Since almost 80% of the new cars this year will be fleeced, that's Ramsey's word for leased, because you get fleeced when you lease, more than likely you are buying a car that came off a lease. My last two car purchases were 1 and 2 year lease turn-ins with low miles. And Ramsey's a multimillionaire. He didn't buy new cars. He's too smart for that. If you understand what I'm saying about this huge loss in value, you now realize that 0% interest isn't really no cost. While the money to borrow isn't technically costing you, you are losing so much in value that you've still been taken. See, he's writing this back in the days of 0% interest car loans. We don't have those anymore. 0%, however, is used quite often by guys, seldom gals, to rationalize their, quote, need, unquote, for some new wheels. So even though the interest rate is attractive, pass it up, because the whole transaction still means throwing $100 bills out the window each week. Some people want to buy a new car for the warranty. If you lose $17,000 of value over 4 years, on average, you have paid too much for a warranty. You could have completely rebuilt the car twice for $17,000. Exactly like I said, warranties are a scam. Also, keep in mind that most manufacturers' warranties still cover you when buying a slightly used car. Here's another quote for you. This is from his other book, Dave Ramsey's Complete Guide to Money. What if your kids really got this message early enough and applied it to buying cars? Starting with their first car at age 16, they could go their entire lives without a car payment. That's what I did. Most Americans can't even fathom that. You could retire a multimillionaire just by avoiding car payments. Why don't they teach that in school? So, Braden, here's your takeaway. Don't ever have a car payment. Don't ever take out a car loan. Every time you buy a car, you pay money for it. You pay cash for it. You hand them the $100 bills or you write out a check. Never take out a loan. They want you to sign anything and say you can make payments later, you can take it home now, and you can pay for it later. Tell them to go jump in a lake. You tell them your pastor told you to tell them that. They're trying to screw you, trying to make you a debt slave the rest of your life. I hear this 100 different ways every day. Quote, you'll always have a car payment. Car payments are a way of life. You're always going to have a payment, so you might as well drive a nice car, unquote. That is one of the biggest lies in the debt industry, but it has been packaged so well that most people believe it. And trust me, if you go through life thinking you'll always have a car payment, there will be plenty of people who will help you to always have a car payment. We Americans love our cars. We put our whole identity in them, like we're actually saying, I'm a Lexus. We'll drop $600 a month on a payment just to impress somebody at a stoplight that we'll never meet. That's so true. That's crazy. And it's not at all how real millionaires behave. The average millionaire drives a nice, slightly used, 2 or 3 year old car that they bought with cash, and they practically never drive a brand new car off the lot. People always say, quote, well, Dave, if I were a millionaire, I'd be able to pay cash for a car too. No, you're not getting it. These people don't pay cash because they're rich. They're rich because they buy cars with cash. Think about how much the average American spends on car payments over his lifetime. The average payment is around $464 a month right now. If you invest $464 a month in good mutual, if you invest $464 in good mutual funds, every month, from age 30 to age 70, you'll end up with more than $5 million. Now, I love nice cars, but I've never seen one worth $5 million. That's the other thing you got to consider, is the lost opportunity cost. Not only did you spend a fortune in depreciation and a fortune in interest, you lost all that money you could have made if you would have invested some of that money that you put into that new car. So it's a huge cost. It's an unseen cost that you won't realize until you're broke someday and don't have any money. If you call my radio show, Struggling to Get Out of Debt, you can almost guarantee that the first words out of my mouth will be, sell the car. And I've heard him say that many times. If you want to take control of your money, you've got to amputate the out-of-control lifestyle. For most people, that starts with the car payment. Now, here's what Ramsey had to say about leasing a vehicle, which is the most expensive way to operate one. He said, this was in his Dave Ramsey's Complete Guide to Money. He said, have you ever wondered why car dealers focus most of their advertising and sales techniques on leasing instead of buying? Let me clear it up for you. They make more money on a lease than anything else, with the exception of the repair center. Car leasing is a total sinkhole of financial waste. If a dealer sells you a car for cash, they make about $80 profit. That seems really low to me. I don't know if that's after they pay the salesman or what, but that seems very low to me. But anyway, that's what he said. That's not a great deal for them. If they sell you a car on payments, they do better. They make around $775 by selling the loan to another bank. If they can get you to lease it, however, their profit jumps up to more than $1,300 per car. So let's see. Cash sales make them $80, and a lease makes them $1,300. Which one would they possibly prefer you to take? Duh. A good friend of mine runs a luxury car lot. According to him, about 78% of cars that drive off the lot are lease deals. That means 3 out of every 4 of his buyers take bad deals in order to look like something they're not. They're broke, and they're doing broke people stuff. You see, rich people ask, this is so important, rich people ask, how much? Broke people ask, how much down and how much per month? When a rich person says she can afford it, she means she can actually afford the car. When a broke person says she can afford it, she means she can probably make the monthly payment as long as there are no emergencies and she doesn't lose her job. You'll never get rich as long as you do broke people stuff. Now let's look at how millionaires buy cars versus how broke people buy cars. This is from The Millionaire Next Door, written back in 1996. And they write, because there was two authors, they write, how do millionaires go about acquiring motor vehicles? About 81% purchase their vehicles. See, what did Ramsey just say? In the general population, about 80% lease their vehicles. In the millionaire population, about 81% purchase their vehicles. That should tell you something. Millionaires don't like blowing money. They don't like wasting money. That's why they don't lease. The balance lease. That's what they said. Let me just start over again. How do millionaires go about acquiring motor vehicles? About 81% purchase their vehicles. The balance lease. About 23.5% of millionaires own new cars. Most people, most have not purchased a car in the last 2 years. In fact, 25.2% have not purchased a motor vehicle in 4 or more years. Not what you'd think of millionaires doing, is it? How much do millionaires pay for these vehicles? Now, you got to remember, this is 1996, so you know these numbers are dated. The typical millionaire, those in the 50th percentile, paid $24,800 for his most recent acquisition. Note that 30% spent $19,500 or less. These are millionaires, mind you. Also note that the average American buyer of a new motor vehicle paid more than $21,000 for his most recent acquisition. This is not much less than the $24,800 paid for or paid by millionaires. Yes, the numbers are a lot lower than they are today, but look at the comparison. Millionaires, on average, spent about $25,000. Average Joes spent $21,000. That's not a big difference, right? It's not like average Joes were spending $21,000 and millionaires were spending $61,000 or $81,000 or whatever, right? They're spending slightly more than the average Joe is on cars. That's why they're millionaires. Moreover, not all of these millionaires purchase new vehicles. How many indicated that their most recent vehicle was used? Nearly 37%. So, good. Over one third of them bought used vehicles. Millionaires, mind you. In addition, many millionaires indicated that they traded down recently. That is, purchased lower priced vehicles than they had before. See, the older they get, the smarter they get. The older they get and the more money they make, they don't keep buying more expensive cars. A lot of them say, you know what? I don't need this thing anyway. This is a waste of my money. Buying a luxury car, it's costing me a fortune to maintain it. And what's the point? I don't need this anyway. I don't care if people look and gawk at me and think I have a nice car. That's not important to me. I'm just editorializing now. All right, let's continue. What if the most that these millionaires ever paid... what is the most that these millionaires ever paid for their motor vehicles? 50% of the millionaires we surveyed never spent more than $29,000 in their entire lives for a motor vehicle. Pretty much every American spends more than that now. About 1 in 5 or 20% never spent more than $19,950 on a car. 80% paid $41,300 or less to acquire their most expensive motor vehicle. What if we separate out from our sample those millionaires who told us that they inherited their wealth, nearly 14% of the millionaires in our sample? The typical wealth inheritor spent, and this is interesting, spent in excess of $36,000 for his most expensive motor vehicle. In sharp contrast, the typical self-made millionaire paid much less, approximately $27,000, or almost $9,000 less than millionaires who inherited their wealth. Isn't that interesting? People that didn't work for it and inherited it blow it faster. People that actually worked for it spend less money, right? That's because they're smart. That's how they got where they are. Thus, the typical American buyer of a new motor vehicle today spends about 78% of what the typical self-made millionaire does for his most expensive motor vehicle. Think about that. The average American boob today spends 78% of what the average millionaire spends on his most expensive car. Think about that. This is how insane Americans are. This is why they're all broke. This is why they're broke. So don't be one of them. So let's end here. And then next Sunday, I'm going to get to some fun stuff. I'm going to talk about enjoying the fruit of your labor. You're going to think I'm double-minded. I just got here telling you don't spend. Quit being an idiot. And now I'm going to tell you go out there and have fun and spend. At the right time, that is. At the right time. So I thank you for your kind and patient attention this morning.